You're probably familiar with this word, tithe. People usually say it means giving to the church 1/10 of your income. Now, that may be hard to do, but it sure is easy to calculate, right? You just move that little decimal point one space to the left, and whoo, you got it. But who gives it? On average, Americans, churchgoers or not, do not come anywhere near to 10% of charitable giving. It seems that talking about tithing doesn't move the ball very far. Perhaps that's because we listen to talk about our financial behavior the way the New York Giants' defensive line listens to the opponent's audibles, which is defensively. We're ready to take down talk about our money habits, unless, of course, there's something in it for me. Well, the funny thing about giving away money is there is something in it for you. It's just that most of us haven't fully come to know that person inside ourselves who is most ready to benefit from our open hearts, our open hand, that curious, generous, wise, attentive to all person inside whom we call Christ within. Christ is within. We haven't fully met him there. Tithing is about giving birth to Christ within. If our defensive line is quick to tackle talk about tithing, well, you know, we will save money, but not our life. Think about the tithe from the point of view of the ancient farmer of Israel, the listener to that Deuteronomy story. He was to set apart 1/10 of the yield of the fields and the vineyards, the herds, everything. Now, 1/10 was easy for him to understand. He had 10 digits. He knew how to take away one. But it wasn't easy to calculate, to figure it out and reckon, what shall I give? Think about this. He had no numerical digits at all, no decimal point to move around. I am sure that he counted all the newborn creatures, but tell me, what is 10% of 14 lambs? One? Two? Which way are you going to go? No doubt he counted up all the sheaves of wheat and the vats of olive oil, but precisely to calculate 10%, it would have taken a terrific effort. And then there was the garden, yielding food every day. Included? Excluded? The point in all this is, who is watching? Do you suppose the temple was sending revenue officers out to the farm? Not hardly. Who is watching? The tithe was always meant to be a thing of the heart, not a calculation, not a rule. Jesus mocked the effort to be very precise in the tithe. He said, "Woe to you hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin." Can't you just see it? Going to your mint plant and counting off 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 9 leaves for the wife, one for... You have tithed mint, but you've neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy, Jesus said. The ancient farmer knew whether his gift carried the generous intention of tithing or whether he was holding back. The question today is, do you? Have you come at the question like that? Do you know in your heart whether your intention in giving is centered in a spirit of hope and freedom and generosity, or whether you have made a calculation about giving, sort of the way we do taxes, which is rimmed with anxiety about trying to keep the number down? Or maybe, you know, I've encountered this for years, I'll give the same as last year, i.e., no consciousness is to be applied here. Same as last year, neglecting that in saving money too well, a person can lose a chance for new life. The purpose of the tradition of the tithe is really quite plain. Let go, loosen up, get into the flow, practice trusting that in spite of rising costs and a dogged recession, there really is nothing to fear. Except, here comes a surprise, except God. That's what it says in Deuteronomy 14. Set apart a tithe of all your yield that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. What on earth does that mean? You know what it doesn't mean? It does not mean God will whack you if you don't follow the rules. People patterned on punishment have always drummed out that bleak counsel. But you don't believe it, and you shouldn't believe it, and you don't teach it. It's wrong. God is not in the whacking business. To learn to fear the Lord your God always means to learn to let go of every earthly fear by using peaceful and prayerful means that bring your attention to the all-surrounding, all-nurturing reality of grace in which you stand hour by hour. That's the fear of the Lord. That kind of attention. Being so pregnant with God's peace coming to life through you that fear doesn't fit through the doorway. Now, I'm not there mostly. You're probably not there mostly, but that is not the point. Even this scripture is so clear. It says in this word, to learn to fear the Lord your God. Okay? It's a process. Cool? It takes practice. More and more to choose freely to put your attention on things that make for peace. Learning to give liberally from your income has a spiritual outcome. It helps train you in a language of faith which quiets fear. It's a real process. It's not a calculation. It's a thing of the heart. You know whether your giving runs from a calculation in your head or whether it speaks the language of freedom from your heart. Many years ago, I was a new pastor in a small village church upstate from which the previous pastor had retired. Although I was new to pastoring, I was not new to work. I'd been in graduate school for some years, and I was eager to get back to work. And I appreciated having an income again. Naturally, I had started giving to my church, giving well more than had been my pattern during grad school, but, you know, well more than a small amount is sometimes still a very small amount. That is how I suddenly felt one afternoon while sorting through the clutter of the retired pastor's study, and I found the old pastor's family budget. It was reckoned there in his own handwriting, amounts for all the usual needs, and the gift to the church. I stared at this figure. It was the full tithe, the whole 10%. My face, I was just alone in the room, it flushed hot. I had never met that old man. The disarray in the house and in the church more generally had seemed like an epitaph on a really worn-out ministry. But just now, I was feeling spoken to by that man in a very lively way. Questioned, not to say judged, questioned, tested, even tutored in a language I did not know. Could I let go of money like that? I thought, I could. Well, why then not? And I decided I would give like that, a proportion that I could feel. You know, if giving is at a level you don't notice it, what's that? Now, just 10 minutes before, such a figure had been to me the far side of the moon. Already now, I could sense a kind of flow in the decision. Some years later, I told this story to that church in a sermon at this season. The treasurer came up to me afterward. Funny smile on his face. Great story, Pastor. It's got me thinking. But you know what? The old pastor never gave the church money like that. Never did. Well, it seems that I learned the language from the practice book of someone who wasn't fluent in it. But you know, the best thing for getting a foreign language down, you know this, it's not reading books. It's trying it out. It's speaking the language. It's practice. Now, churchy talk often suggests that only church giving is giving to God. Have you heard things like that before? I think that's a racket. It can't just be that you have to give the church if you want to give to God. God doesn't want money. God wants us, right? He wants our heart. When Paul praised the Macedonian churches in that letter we read, because, quote, they voluntarily gave according to their means and even beyond their means, he said, they gave, again quoting, not merely as we expected, they gave themselves, first to the Lord and by the will of God, to us. Do you feel the shift in the wind? Their giving, which overflowed in a wealth of generosity during a severe ordeal and extreme poverty, was not primarily to please Paul or to pay Paul. It wasn't primarily to bear their fair share, which would have been a small amount. Their intention was to give themselves to the Lord. In other words, give to get into the flow of life. Are you getting that kind of outcome from your income? You can. It's all about your motive in making gifts whose use you don't try to control. That's giving with a spiritual consequence. The question is not how much do they need, but how it leaves your hand and your heart. How much do I need to be a giving person? Now, giving to the church is by no means the only way that your generosity can help you learn the fear of the Lord your God. By no means. There are many ways of your open hand and open heart. But there may be a way that giving to your church can prove especially powerful to transform a proportion of your income toward a spiritual outcome. Look again at what the ancient farmer was asked to do in that Deuteronomy sermon. What to do with your tithe? Did you catch that? Eat it. That's what he said. Eat it. In the presence of the Lord your God, you shall eat the tithe so that you may learn to fear the Lord. Well, and the instruction continues, if you must travel to the annual festival, then trade the tithe of your crops and creatures for money and buy whatever you want. Did you hear that? Strong drink. Buy whatever you want and eat it in the presence of God, you and your household rejoicing together. Boy, Jews really have fun down, you know? We have not nearly learned enough from our brothers and sisters over these last several millennia. Now, I don't see how you could entirely transport that tradition in Deuteronomy into our time and place and get the same outcome. But let's try to feel our way into the heart of the thing. The ancient farmer's tithe didn't buy him anything he could use. It was all used up in a week of celebration. Now, you know the tradition of Sabbath keeping. It is work hard 6 days, but absolutely do not work on the seventh. That's Sabbath. Give it up. On the Sabbath, study, talk, drink, make love, eat, have fun, but do not use the Sabbath to get more money or more control over your future. That's the tradition. Be present. The purpose of the tithe, you see, is quite similar to that of the Sabbath. Both of them are proportional gifts. The Sabbath is 1/7, and the tithe is 1/10. The critical thing in the tithe is stop hoarding or worrying is really the issue. Begin healing, and here's the final point, begin healing in community. The Sabbath, in worship, close family gatherings, in annual festivals for the tithe. Where, did you notice this? Money has been set aside every 3 years so that all people, no matter how their fortunes have been ravaged by chance, disease, death, Wall Street, you name it, may come together in unity and community as one family, resident aliens, widows, and orphans. Who are they? Resident aliens. Today, that's migrant workers. Forget about the documents question. That's migrant workers. Orphans? Who's that today? Orphans is the name for everyone of any age who did not have the love and guidance they needed when the time was up. Widows, who's that today? Of course, it's widows in their grief. But really, it's bigger today. Widows is everyone who is cut off from the social and economic lifelines which help carry our hope and our health. Everyone who is cut off is a widow. All of these, according to Deuteronomy, all of these rejoicing together with you and your household, that's who is expected to show up for dinner in the healing community conceived in the hearts of the faithful and paid for by their tithes. That is a spiritual outcome from income. Now, the good thing you feel here in this church, First Church, Brooklyn, New York, can be described in many, many ways. But the most ancient word we have for what is at work here is called communion with the body of Christ. That's the name, most ancient, for this beautiful spirit rising here. It is a table fellowship. The tradition of the tithe, all eaten in 1 week, offers you a test for your giving at First Church. How is it going with your income's outcomes? Is the table of our fellowship sagging with abundant love? You might say so, but it could sag some more, couldn't it? So that migrant workers and lonely alcoholics and depressed widows and widowers and people who can't speak English but who already speak Jesus better than you and I, orphans, you name it, that they all actually get the invitation to be one with the body of Christ, with us and we with them, right? really equal, really rejoicing together. From our incomes, out comes spiritual communion with Christ at the kingdom table. That horn of plenty can trumpet the coming of a new world. Those are incomes